six, seven, eight, nine, ten.
You mind if I record it all?
I was curious first about how you were selected for the police department. How did they pick the first black police?
There were stringent tests that we took, and maybe 5 or 6 out of 100 would pass, or 2 or 3 out of 100, and then after you pass that written part of the test, there was stringent oral examinations and background checks, and out of that came the first 8.
Right.
And I was the 9th person.
Right. I was curious also about how well were the black neighborhoods policed before and after the integration of the force. In other words, was there any difference with the entry of the black police? Any difference in how?
Well, we were received as something extraordinary. People followed us down the streets, and we were like celebrities. We spoke at churches, and it was a great reception by the black community. It wasn't so good by the black community, the black criminal element, those that hadn't been used to being policed closely.
Okay. That's what I was curious about.
Was
the black police were the black police better able to police the black community?
Oh yeah, definitely.
In what sense?
Yeah, definitely. We brought a different sensitivity to the police department for black people and for what we thought black people ought to be. Mm-hmm. And that meant putting black folks in jail for things that white police had never put them in jail for before.
What sort of things?
Well, just hanging out on the corner, molesting black women, and little dice games, little gambling games. At that time, corn liquor was the vice. And we put them in jail for corn liquor. The white police were in with the bootleggers.
In other words,
so we brought a different. Now there was resentment from that element.
From the black criminal element.
Well, not necessarily the criminal element, but from just the black element that were shady.
Right.
Not necessarily criminal.
This sort of. From the fact that the white police didn't really care that much what happened to the black community.
Didn't care that much, and they'd come get their money and go on back to business. The white police resented us terribly. And we had any number of racial incidents with white policemen.
Such as what?
Such as confrontations. I remember once McKibben had, in the beginning, Elkins locked up a white man, and they wouldn't call the wagon wouldn't pick him up. So Elkins walked him, he was right up on Decatur Street, Elkins walked him down to the police station and booked him in. Was reprimanded for arresting the white man. Well, Elkins quit because of that. That's the one I replaced. But
did the
after that, then you call a wagon for a prisoner, and only white patrolmen were driving the wagons. They might pull up on this side of the street, and you over there. They wouldn't make a turn and come over and pick you up. You had to walk across, and one of the policemen, McKibbins, got into a confrontation with white police who was driving the wagon. I got into numerous confrontations with white police.
Trying to harass you?
Well, once I was late going to court, and at 5 points, there was a crosswalk, and I pulled up to the crosswalk, and there's no traffic. No pedestrian traffic, so I pulled down to five points. I was on Mitchell's, I pulled down to the intersection, and policeman Lewis wasn't when he came over. I told him I was a policeman and I was late getting the code, you know, outside there. He said he's done all you niggas. I jumped out the car and grabbed him, and he and I had it. Well, I told him I'd blow his goddamn brains out. Then I got in my car and went straight to the police station to make a report out on him. And, you know, while I was sitting there making a report out, he came in and with his lieutenant to make a report out on me. Well, naturally, I got suspended.
You did?
I got suspended, and he did too.
Oh, he did too?
Yeah. You see, at that time, it was a very sensitive time, and there were a group of black leaders, Warren Cochran at the YMCA, and Borders, Reverend Borders,
and King Senior again.
King Senior, and C.A. Scott, down to Newspaper Row. They monitored. In fact, they interviewed the blacks who were hired to make sure that they were acceptable to the black leadership. And it was a period when it was totally without dignity because we couldn't wear our uniforms to court. We had to pull them off in the basement of the line. I had to go to court to prosecute the case. They called all of our cases at the same time after. They called all the white cases. They called our cases. There was an effort made to keep us from white policemen.
What do you mean from? Just away from them altogether?
Away from them altogether. When we moved out of the Y and moved into the basement of the police station at our precinct, all the 6 p.m. white precinct was in the basement of the police station. I did it a couple of years and started to rebel. It didn't take long before I knew it was wrong. And we were a political arm of the police department. We were Hartsville was a mayor, and we worked the polls. It was what we did was for the black leadership, for the white leadership. You understand? And every time we would complain about something, I mean, we would get at first we had two old cars that we had, you know, that were assigned to us. We complained, and then we'd get two better cars. I was the leader of the complaints from the very beginning. And blacks, once we moved up at the police station, then we expanded the beats that, you know, they would have two or three more, maybe two or three years.
I thought that the Black Police weren't allowed to ride the patrol cars right at first.
Not at first, no.
Yeah. Just did the...
But we, when we did get the patrol cars, we got two cars, yeah. Two beats. One on the west side and one on the public lot over.
Both in Black neighbors or?
Both in Black neighbors.
Did the white police back you up in emergencies and you were being shot at, let's say, or whatever?
Yes, eventually.
How about at first?
But at first, it was, total resentment. There were two white policemen on in the car that we eventually replaced in the car that covered the fourth one. And they had put out a they'd pay if we one of us got killed.
Pay anybody who would do it.
Anybody who would do it. I mean, that was just common in the pool rooms and in the
how long did that
in the taverns and well, we eventually replaced them in that car.
Yeah.
That car that eventually became a black car. But that was some very very hardcore racist policemen. At that time,
and these cops would not have backed you up at all. I mean, like
no.
Some whites would have, I'm sure.
There were some whites that would.
Yeah.
There were some whites that were friendly.
Yeah.
We had a protest trying to get some blacks on motorcycles. Mm-hmm. Couple of white policemen who were on motorcycles would stop by and say that they would welcome, you know, blacks to be on motorcycles. The amazing thing about it is every time I would mount a protest,
mm-hmm.
Herbert Jenkins was smart enough to understand that he heard wouldn't promote me or none of my cohorts, but he would promote Howard Ball, who eventually became assistant chief. He would make the promotion. I think Lyons and Ball were the first two to become plainclothes policemen. And all the way up, every time we mounted a damn protest, that was response.
Okay. So first of all, anybody complained wasn't promoted.
No, never.
And when you did complain to Jenkins about a white cop who was a racist, what was the response from Jenkins?
You see, the method of protest would be through the Black Advisory Committee, I guess you may say, through the Black Leader.
Through
Borders. Yeah. Well, Warren Cochran was the main person.
Yes. I spoke to Cochran 2 years ago.
Yeah, he's the main person.
So when you complained to Cochran and when you complained to Borders, they would approach Jenkins.
They would approach Jenkins, but in the meantime, I'd tell them, but then I'd go on about the business of protest.
Yeah.
And always there were promotions and changes made in relation to the protest.
Suspended? Was he reprimanded by Jenkins?
No. Just moved
to a different area.
To a different area.
Was he talked to and pressured to lay off the black cops at all?
I don't know. I wouldn't be privy to that. I don't know. And we had a person who was our commander, and that was Bevo Brooks, who took the name Sergeant Brooks. And key factors. He was kind of paternalistic, but he backed us. They would give him hell for being our commander. White police. He called hell, but then he was a strong person. And
did you find that the white cops would back you up in court as witnesses if there was a situation where you were making a case and the white cop was a witness, would they back you up in court?
If he was a witness, yeah.
He would. It would be no trouble.
Later on. But in the very beginning, there was very little contact we had with white police other than the wagon drivers, the people who came to pick up our goods.
Because apparently didn't treat you too well.
And they were terrible.
How about
anybody who drove the wagon was on punishment anyway. They were not the best policemen.
Yeah.
Anyway, because if you're a wagon driver, all you're doing is hauling.
I talked to Chief Jenkins a few days ago. I was asking him about the various restrictions that were placed on the black police at first, not arresting whites, not wearing uniform home. And he says this was done to help the integration of the police force succeed, that the black cops themselves wanted it.
He's a lie.
Okay.
He's a damn lie. That's just a
it
damn
didn't sound
lie.
Right to me.
Yeah, we wanted dignity.
Okay.
And the only reason that we mounted the protest was, every step of the way there was a fight. There was never anything given without a fight for it. There was no voluntary, and we had to fight, we who were in the movement had to fight black police too, those who had been promoted.
Mm-hmm.
I was the editor of a weekly publication called The Comment. It was clandestinely, put around the police station and sent to black newspapers, and it told what was going on.
Is that around anymore?
No.
No copy?
No.
Historians like that sort of stuff. One of the things Jenkins said when I spoke to him was that one of the reasons you didn't wear your uniforms home was that he was afraid that you would be harassed by whites who saw blacks walking home with the uniform.
That's bullshit. Because we fought to wear our uniforms. We fought to wear them to court.
You want to be treated as police, right?
As police, that's right.
Did you find that the white brutality, white police brutality against the black community, did that change at all?
It changed, yeah.
And how would that affect?
It changed because in most of the black community, from 6 to 2, we were called the 6 p.m. whites. From 6 to 2, we worked it. We worked most of the black community. And because now, we were accused of police brutality, too. So because
by the black community?
Yeah. Because we were policing harder than they had ever been policed.
But
white policemen used to roll up to black people walking home or something, and they put your head in this window, roll the window on the head, beat them up, put them in jail, and they'd ride down Fraser Street and tell them, all right, let's go to bed, and run people off the porches. This is, all that kind of thing.
Did that stop?
That stopped.
Now, how did that stop?
It stopped because we were walking through.
Okay, you and I, okay. So the whites were out of the black neighborhood?
No, they were still there in the cars. We were walking beats and we were walking and they were riding.
They were walking, is that it?
They never walked.
Oh,
we were walking beats. We were saying walking beats. And then they were riding the cars
and every
time we were walking.
And you were able to stop the brutality from them because you were walking the beach?
Well, not necessarily stop it, but, you know, I mean, we were hostile to them and they were hostile to us, so they wouldn't meet nobody if they knew we were around. Yeah. It was just we eventually took over the black from them after a number of years.
Did you find you patrolled more of the black community than the whites had bothered with?
No, a beat is, you know, that's a beat.
I guess I'm just trying to get a sense whether the black police, who I would think would have cared more for the black community, made more of an effort to deal with lawbreakers.
Oh, we did. Yeah. I remember one time I was riding in the old one car. The number was supposed to go in at 1 o'clock, and I was sitting in front of the smoke shop where they had them buy them bottle in, and the new thing come out and ask me, where is your beat? I said, you know where my beat is, Lieutenant. He said, when the last time you've been on Tyler Avenue? So, I mean, to get the numbers out, you know. They were all a part of the whole thing. We really, we didn't make any dents because the numbers are still today just like they were 30, 40 years
ago. Oh, you're the numbers record.
Yeah. So we didn't make any dents because we made some little difference in how Atlanta, the black community, was policed.
Did you get any reaction from the white or the black community when the restrictions were lifted? All these the whites accepted it, the blacks accepted it?
Well, I mean, there was no, there was nothing anybody can do. A white policeman have to accept whatever the rules are. I mean, the rules were restrictions on us.
So when they were lifted, the whites accepted it?
Sure they did. There was nothing else to do. When Barr and them were put into the detective department, I mean, they worked as detectives. And then pretty soon, I think Lyons and Barr were first detectives, and then Hudson and Perry, somebody ran, so there were four, you know, and then pretty soon two working stolen cars and two working burglars.
I read someplace that there was a period of about 10 years when there was virtually no promotions of black police.
Oh, yeah.
And even by 1959, out of 650 police, there was only 40 blacks. So, if the police department was committed, or Botsfield or Allen was committed,
it was totally political.
Okay. In other words, if the black community brought pressure, then
yeah, totally political.
Okay.
And the way they hired them in the beginning was that that same group, that leadership group, you know, asked how to feel about black police. And he told them, "You get me $10 registered voters, I'll hire."
What happened later on? I mean,
well, I'm saying by 4 years later, you know, you get two cars, get two men riding. And then 4 years later, I mean, it was always political.
They squeezed that in a little bit.
And Jenkins was always a political person. You know, much later on, I was picketed in the police station. And he came up to me and that I was a policeman. I had no business out there for picketing, and I put my black man first. I got suspended, and I took that case to federal court. I lost the case. It's ironic that I lost the case, and now policemen are picketing and calling the chief, calling the commissioner,
incompetent
at everything. I mean, I was suspended for picketing. And, they do anything now. Times are limited.
But in terms of getting more, well, one of the things Jenkins said when I spoke to him was that, we were supposed to only hire 8 black police. Nobody said anything about hiring any more, and he wasn't going to do it until somebody...
Until somebody said something.
Yeah.
And that was political.
So he wasn't particularly committed to it.
No, he wasn't. I mean, he got a lot of credit for what was forced on him, and the story was never told truthfully as to him being a politician. Yeah. He acquiesced to demand.
How about Mayor Allen? Was he more responsive?
Well, he was more responsive because of the same kinds of pressures. You know, he put a damn barricade up out there at the Peyton Road and had to take it down because of the pressures, not because of his desire not to keep black and white people apart.
Do you think the more votes blacks got, the more pressure they could exert?
Oh, yeah. And that's the whole thing has been the political power of the election.
Do you think, what do you think changed in the police department when Mayor Jackson came in? Well,
everything changed.
Well,
because, I left the department in 69, and I left the department in 69, picketed the department. So you can see in 69. From 48 to 69, it was a constant fight about one thing and then the other.
Even with Michelle as mayor by that time, right? Well, you left right when Michelle was coming in.
I think Justice is coming in, but hell, I went up there and knocked the mayor's door because of, I saw a lot of the phones loading up, and they said he wasn't in. So yeah, we had a little thing out there, and we sadly grew up in the mayor's office. I don't even remember what it was about now, but it was about promotions or motorcycles or something. But that was right at 67, 68, so that was leading to my resignation.
There were still problems then.
Oh yeah, plenty of problems.
So when Jackson came in, I mean, what kind of change was brought in the police department? Do you remember anything?
Oh yeah, he, John Inman was a police chief by then, and he wanted to get rid of Inman.
Is that part of the police brutality issue though?
Yeah. Had DeWitt Smith, who was a part of my group, and they witnessed the beating of a black person in jail. They were working on the attorney. They came down and told me, and I was old boys and all that crowd, and we made an issue out of it. I had been suspended 2 or 3 times by that time, by the time of that issue. John Inman and I got along very well. John Inman was a lieutenant and vice. He and I got along very well. He was not a Jenkins favorite either.
Okay, so what was the problem with Inman?
Well, the problem with Inman was that there were a number of shootings of black people. And it just seemed as though John Inman got on the wrong side of the blacks. I mean, and there were protests like Jose is doing now, you know, like about the town. And they were saying that Inman had to go. You know, Inman was was a policeman who defended policemen, and he figured they were right. I talked him into promoting Dean Whit Smith, who had brought those charges, you know, against some policemen for brutality, promoted him to sergeant, Dean Whit Smith sergeant. When Maynard came, and Maynard decided that in order to, I mean, he asked Inman to leave, and Inman wouldn't go. So he changed the city charter to create the position of super chief, made ready to leave.
Yeah, he thought it was time for a black police chief too.
Right.
Did you see any change? Well, of course, you were at the police department by that time.
I was out of it.
You think there was any change in promotions and the number of blacks being hired? I mean,
Oh, yeah.
So there was?
There was total change within the police department. In fact, Eves put white policemen on the defensive. They had to go to court there. I mean, the situation was totally reversed.
You mean in terms of police brutality, they had to go to court and explain what they did? Is that?
No, I mean, they had to go to court they went to court saying that they were discriminated against as far as promotions and things like that. So, I mean, they were totally on the defensive.
So, in other words, with Allen, who claimed he was a great friend of the black man and Michelle, it really took a black mayor to really change the situation for blacks.
There's no doubt about that.
C.A. Scott, that you mentioned before, was appointed by Mayor Allen to the oral exam section of the police exams to make sure no racist whites were hired. Do you think this had any effect? Was there any attempt not to hire white racists as police during this time?
I don't think so.
During the 50s? Yeah, which time? 60s?
I don't know if C.A. Scott was on there. I don't know if they interviewed him. Does he claim to be on an interview panel that interviewed white applicants?
Yeah. Appointed by Allen, so that would be the 60s. Yeah. And I was curious whether even before then, was there any attempt not to hire an outright racist?
No.
No, they didn't care.
I don't even know whether he was on the panel or interviewed Frank.
Well, he says
he might have been.
How well do you think the black and white police got together during the 50s, right after that early stage? You know, was there a period when they started to get together?
Oh, yeah. I joined the Afro Patrolman. I created it. Afro Patrolman League, and at the same time, I joined the Fraternal Order of Police.
And I was up in the Black School? Fraternal Order?
I was the first one. In fact, for a while, I was the only one.
Did you know how to flack about that? Or?
Not much. Got some, but then Joe Amos joined. I took a few blacks with me to the Fraternal Order of Police. The Fraternal Order of Police went to the aid of the blacks, I mean of the whites, who were charged with brutality in the jail, and that's what fractured it.
So you think, well, today the Fraternal Order is white, isn't it, pretty much?
Might be one or two blacks in it. I don't, but I was a charter member.
So there was some effort to get along with each other, I suppose.
Oh, yeah. But, well, I think there was an effort. That was an effort. This was long before then. This was before. There was an effort to get along because we who were members of the Fraternal Order of Police were suffering. I was suffering because I was civil rights. And they were suffering because they wanted to organize. against Dayton. And policemen were assigned. I had policemen assigned to follow me around. I got it all down, report that J.E. Hudson gave me. J.E. That was a detective assigned to me to
follow
me around to get evidence on me to fire me.
Whose idea was that, Jenkins?
Yeah, that was Jenkins.
All right, because he thought you were...
Well, I was a felon, and I eventually ran away from him. It was the report that I have, the copy of, was said that I was on Auburn Avenue at the liquor store, corner of Piedmont and Auburn, and that I was passing out, my comments. I was passing out the comments, Sergeant Simmons wrote the report.
Well, Jenkins didn't want anybody really standing up for black rights.
Well, he didn't want me, because, I created something all the time.
I mean, but what you were standing up for.
That's right. He didn't want black rights.
He didn't want to see it.
The difference between black and white policemen. I couldn't stand the differences and the inequities and the degradation of one's dignity.
And the other,
it was horrible.
And the other black police felt the same way, I guess.
I had a group with me, and there were some who had, all of them felt the same way, but there were some who had benefited from our protests. You see what I mean?
How would they benefit?
Well, promoted.
Oh, no, the ones that didn't make the noise got promoted.
Yeah.
Okay.
Promoted.
Even the ones that got promoted. I read something in the newspaper about one of the black detectives, Bow, I think it was, mentions that there was a hit on him at one point, too, because there was resentment about him being a black detective.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess they too were missing their husband also. How about the continuing promotion controversy? That sort of all seems to come out of this early period when no blacks were promoted. Well, that seems to be still a source of a great deal of friction between whites and blacks.
Well, I think the problem with that was that the history of the police department, the chief promoted whoever he wanted. I don't know down where you passed the test, where you didn't pass the test. He decided he wanted to promote you. And then that continued through John Henry. When he came, he wanted to put a white hat on and be fair. And what got him in trouble was putting that white hat on and, going to be ethically pure. And then a desire to promote black people.
Well, he promoted some, and
he didn't promote some others. So he promoted folks who were friendly to him and didn't promote, because the whistle was blown by black police.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's how it was, yeah. But that was common practice, really, to promote your favorites and others.
Yeah, it was common practice. So why would he institute a test system before he got his folks in? Hell, if I was going to run something, and whatever the system was, it was good for the whites, that would be the same system for the blacks when I got in.
Right.
And I'd use that system until such time as it became, I got all my folks in, and if you want to have examinations and do it right, then do it right.
So he tried,
huh?
He tried to do the examinations first before he got his own people.
That's right. Yeah.
He got burnt. Yeah. It seems the controversy today is really
you know, how many black police are promoted in regard to how many white police, and that seems to me to come out a lot of the 1950s. The whole early controversy when blacks weren't being promoted at all.
At all.
Yeah.
It was, it was a friendship thing that you got promoted by, or a loyalty thing. I mean, somebody would say, well, he's all right, let's promote him. Well, you got promoted. If nobody ever said that, then you couldn't get promoted. I wouldn't give a damn what I made on a test. I wasn't going to get promoted. And I knew it, so I stopped taking the damn test.
Yeah. So Jenkins promoted who he wanted to.
Yeah, he promoted who he wanted.
And he promoted those blacks who didn't talk back to much.
That's right. Who were cooperating.
Single story. I was also just curious, just one of my last questions, during the Civil Rights Movement, black police were used to deal with the Civil Rights protests, I guess. Were they used in any special way? Was there any special resentment by the black community to black police being used there?
Mm-hmm. No. We were on down at Lev's, and a white policeman had his foot on a black woman's arm, and I forget the name, let me see if he did that. I think J.W. Bailey or somebody grabbed him and knocked him off, you know, got him, you know, off the woman. He had his foot on the woman's arm. There was no resentment on the part of the black community. At the time, I was being punished. I was on the fifth floor in the drunk tank, and they locked up, I guess, 300 or 400. They locked so many up that they couldn't process them downstairs. They locked Big Gregory up. Big was on my floor for about a week. And in that onslaught of people that they locked up, there was one white girl. She stayed on that floor. They barricaded the fifth floor, wouldn't let anybody in. And I cooperated with them. They wouldn't let anybody in for 4 or 5 days. They kept that white girl out there for 4 or 5 days. She wanted to be out there. Because she was an exchange student over Spelman from somewhere up east. But Big Gregory ran the fifth floor for about a week.
Do you think the protesters would treat her any better because there were black police on the force?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You think without you people,
probably would have been the same brutality as over in Birmingham.
Yes.
Yeah.
But Jenkins has this great image now that he was the
bullshit.
Yeah, I think he made a difference too.
Yeah, we made a big difference. Herbert Jenkins was, I mean, he was a politician with more sense than those over in Birmingham and down in Auburn and the other places, St. Augustine, but yeah, the only difference was that we were there.
Yeah. Well, there must have been a lot of pressure on him from the white business community to not create another Birmingham.
Yeah.
I'm sure the whites were very worried about
losing
money,
yeah,
losing business, all that kind of stuff.
We had some little protests. Didn't have much. We had some little bit on up Highland Avenue and Boulevard. And a little burning on House Street.
When you started patrolling white neighborhoods in the early 60s, something like the 1960s, did you, were you accepted as police by the white, not by the white police, but by the white community?
Yeah.
There was no problem with that.
There was no problem with that. I was very little problem. Might have been more isolated than that. Once they started, if they police. Black police used to police spending black. I mean, it was hard policing. As you look back on it now, it might have been too hard.
In terms of the white community?
No, in terms of black and white. I mean, they took a sense of policing. I mean, black police, a lot of things that people were, that were common amongst the population, became crimes among black people. I mean, as far as black people were concerned.
And you were trying to prove yourself,
I guess. I guess so. I don't know what they were trying to do.
That's great. It's all very interesting. It's